welcome back to A Woman's View on KSL News Radio. Such a pleasure this week to have Dr. Tamara Sheffield with me, the Medical Director for Immunization Programs at Intermountain Health. And Robin Scribner is here, the co-founder and director of outreach for Tech Moms. The two of you and your comments about AI were so instructive for me that it makes me want to ask you now about algorithms. Here's where the question comes from. I was reading this book called Filter World, where it talks about how the algorithms have made so many choices for us. Like I think about all the social media sites that now from children age, whatever parents let them on until whatever, we are on these things constantly. And yet I don't get to see what some of my friends post because the algorithm decides I don't really want to see those things or I won't engage with those things. So it's not chronological anymore. If my sister posts something, I may not see it ever. Because the algorithm has decided. The algorithm has decided that all I'm interested in are cat videos and face cream. That's the extent of my interest on planet Earth, according to the algorithm. What bugs me are this. I'd like to have my own sense of taste. I want to decide what things I want to read. See, I don't want a computer program that is programmed for the sole purpose of making money to make a decision about what taste I'd like to curate my own life, and I can't do that when every decision is made based on metadata and what I'm most likely to buy or give my attention to. Dr. Sheffield, can I start with you this time? Are you concerned about that on a personal basis or professional, whatever you want to address?
Oh, no, and actually on a personal basis, yes. I find myself having every article about the royal family right in front of me all the time because I've opened articles about that. And so that tends to be my cycle of reading is whatever I've read yesterday, I get fed a whole series of information about that. And it does reflect more and more my taste. And I don't get to see other people's point of view. And I find that even with the media outlets I choose. So I choose certain radio stations, I choose certain news feeds, and others I avoid because they make me really uncomfortable. But I know, having seen when I have conversations with some of my best friends, that they are watching exactly the opposite. And the feeds that they are getting and the assumptions they are getting, it's no longer I'm reading you the news, it is I am interpreting the news for you. And that news channel then interprets and gives you a value that may not have been your own in the past, but all of a sudden you are thinking in a certain way because that's how the news media is feeding into you. So yes, I am very concerned, but that's our human nature is those that we interact with and interface with do change us. We become more and more like those that we are with. And so I think we have to be choosy about who we are with and who we choose in our media. And I love the fact of when, you know, someone actually tells me about an article that's something in a topic I've never been interested in. If I go look at it, I start learning more because I get fed more about that.
Yes. Yes. I think we have lost the value of challenging our own assumptions, challenging our own way of thinking, which can only be done with contrary points of view we might not have clicked on in the past. I don't know how we address this, Robin, but how do you think about the algorithm problem?
Oh man, I have so many thoughts about this. I think this is really at the core of so much that is going wrong with our society right now and so much of our divisiveness and so much of our polarization. I really think that's core. And Dr. Sheffield, what you said about not being exposed to things that we're not comfortable with and how you have to go out and seek it out. I think that's really, really important. And I hate to bring this to generational differences, but this is what I seem to do nonstop. My siblings and I get together and chat every week, and all we seem to do is talk about what's wrong with our kids and their entire generation, which I love my kids, but like there's a lot going on there that's really tough. And Gen Z has been raised never knowing anything different. I read an article last week that was talking about one of the challenges that has come to Gen Z because of the immersion in social media is that the experts in their lives and the people that they're listening to all the time, the strongest voices in their world, are people that are their same age. And that is something that I don't know why it was like this mind-blowing terrifying idea to me. But when we were kids, we were absolutely influenced by the media. There were lots, we were getting tons of messages, but at least the media we were seeing when we were teenagers was coming from adults. So even though they were trying to appeal to us, they were literal adults that had life experiences and all these other things. But the influential voices in our children's lives are other children without perspective, without life experience. And they're great kids, right? They've got a lot of wonderful things to say, but they don't have that perspective. They don't have that life experience. So that's one of the most dangerous algorithms, I think, of that children are not being exposed to opinions, ideas, perspectives from people who have more life experience than they do. So I think some of these things are really interesting. The algorithms are useful. Like, I literally never want to watch a video about monster trucks. Like, I know that about myself. I'm never going to be interested in that. But at the same time, I need exposure to so much more than I get. And absolutely, our young people need exposure to so much more than they get.
So the data mining that's going on with these social media companies is, it's making them all billionaires. They're not going to change it. How do we change a system that is turning people into billionaires? The incentive for them not to change it is overwhelming.
We turn off our computers. Like, we step away from social media. We step away from our phones. We limit, like, I mean, the same thing that I want to do for my children, I want to do for myself, to say, if I want to go on here and spend a little time, have a little entertainment, I give myself a time limit and say, this is how I'm going to spend my time having. It's just like some people say, like with gambling, they're like, I give myself $20 to spend on the slot machines and it's entertainment, right? It's just fun and it's limited. Same thing with the media that we're taking into our lives. We limit that stuff that we know is not good for us. We know does not help us grow and learn and expand our lives. And then we spend the rest of our days out in nature, out talking to real humans, meeting people in real life, where the world isn't telling us or the algorithm isn't telling us what those people are and what they believe. We get to find out by talking to them.
Anything to add to that, Dr. Sheffield?
I completely agree with Robin, is that as much as we tell our children to turn off media, we have to be that strict with ourselves because we model that behavior for them. By not isolating ourselves and helping ourselves be humanly collective, we will do better things for our children and be part of organizations and service and get out there and allow our kids to see people in multiple states of life and different cultures. I think those are key as well, is we in not insulating us with just the people that we know and are like us.
Brilliant. Another break and we'll be back. This is A Woman's View on KSL News Radio.